coffee now, a little bit more relaxed. Said hi to your neighbor, maybe. Maybe not. Checking up on emails. That's all good. Writing a report, exactly. It's all good. Wonderful. We are in third week of our series in Acts already. We're doing 10 weeks. And the expanding kingdom. And so we are going through the Acts and seeing some of the bigger narratives that are happening in the midst of Acts. And this week, it's interesting that our title is Focus on Teamwork Over Star Players. And so I want to read the passage that we're going to be looking at, and then just so you know, the framework that we're going to do, that I'm going to work on today with my sermon will be, I'm going to read the passage, unpack a little bit about of that passage, but also how it pertains to us as a community. Then we're going to actually have Trevor Conkey's going to share an experience that he had on a Sunday morning here. Then we're going to have Madison Boehm is going to talk a little bit about kids' life and how she went from being a helper to kids' life to now being a teacher. And then we're going to see a video that Ajay has done with the youth and some of the neat things that are happening there, but also an opportunity for people to be also involved in the youth program as well with the youth group. And then we'll kind of bring it back around to what does that look like for us. So that's kind of what's happening. But let's get into it. Let's read these verses in Acts 6, 1 to 7. In those days, the number of disciples was increasing. The Hellenistic Jews, among them, complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are well known, who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit," not well known, "full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Also, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. So the word of God spread, the number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So here we are now, seeing that Acts, the story, the second narrative of Luke. Luke wrote this Acts, Acts of the disciples, Acts of the apostles, the Acts of the church, after the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit coming on the people and empowering them to live a life not in radical victory, claiming victory all the time, but actually loving and living like Jesus did before his death and resurrection. Remember, we chatted about that if you're tracking about that. The resurrection was a vindication of how to live as Jesus calls us to live. So, they found that this group of believers now, that it was the resurrection that has actually kind of caught their attention to that this is a real thing now. And they're figuring ways to live in a way that we talked about a couple weeks ago, being radically generous with one another. In a way that they're understanding that this is now, well, we're not getting into the story, but pretty soon it's going to push to the fact that they're going to see it's not just for the Jews, it's actually for the Gentiles, which means all. So the story from here is going to move to seeing that we actually have to see that this is for all the nations. And here we have something that happened within their community, a need that was happening right there. The widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And we just want to think, as I'm reading it, I'm thinking about how is that practical for us? A simple point was needs arise within the local community. Needs arise within the local community. Remember we talked about this isn't necessarily prescriptive of how you are to do, how you are to live out life. It's actually descriptive of what the disciples did at their time. And so then we have to kind of put it back on ourselves going, okay, if this is how the disciples lived, understanding that Jesus is Lord, understanding how to be generous with one another, and now understanding that the gospel is for all and for everyone, now we need to live in such a way that that manifests itself in how we live our lives. One of the ways here is, hey, there's people missing out on things here. And historically, the church during this time revealed itself as a community of people that took care of the ones on the outside, took care of the ones that were probably forgotten. And even here, we see in the life of the church, hey, there's people that we bring, you forgot about these people. Maybe again. And so, and that was happening quite consistently under the empire rule of Caesar during that time. So now they're living their lives to match the life that Jesus lived, that we looked at the book of Mark, and then we looked at, and we're trying to understand who he is. Oh, what was he doing? Oh, he was sitting with the ones on the outside. He would pull a table up with people that maybe weren't supposed to be in and weren't able to come to the temple. And so this is what the life of Jesus, what he was doing. And here, this is what we see the disciples, the apostles, doing now. And as it happens, they're trying to find other people to be able to do the same work. It wasn't like someone grabbed something and said, I'm the leader, I'm in charge. But they actually had to work through groups of people in that way. So needs arise within our local community. I want to share a couple of stories just in our own community here. This last weekend, Brent and Tracy Armstrong, Brent lost his father a week and a half ago. And yesterday we just had a little, small little memorial service for him. And it was really interesting this is just a practical thing that came up. We didn't even put the word out. We always said that this memorial was happening. Well, Tina Dunbar calls Danny up and says, hey, can I do all the baking for in their home after? And Danny's like, yeah. And so Tina Dunbar saw the need, jumped in, and then we hear stories of them saying, some friends that were there and family saying, someone actually, baked? This is home baking, you know? And the thought and the feeling that rises up in the midst of that when you're grieving is a beautiful thing, right? And our church was able to, Danny kind of coordinated, but our church was able to, through our community care fund, that we, an aside, we passed the plate once a month. Our general giving goes in the back, but we pass the plate once a month, and this goes to our community care fund. And we have money in there that are able to help people in their times of need in this way. And we're able to say, let's direct some of the funds there. And Danny was able to do the rest of the food through our community care fund. And what a beautiful way that our church was able to support them in that way. And it's almost like there's this sense that it's not exactly like this, but they're kind of going, oh, we're not forgotten. There's someone caring for us, even in the distribution of food. So that's a good thing. Thank you for those that bring the hospitality and the home baking. And even if it's not home baking, the Timbits are pretty good. So thank you for people that here, day to day, or every week, will bring so that my kids just fill their faces full of this baking. But you know what? They love it. And they want to be here at church because of that as well. That's a portion of it. So we can't neglect to say that that's something, a smaller that's a smaller thing that someone else is doing. No, we need a team of people to be able to do that. What a beautiful thing. Another thing that came up is we've been talking about generosity. And just last week, I mentioned that we are, in the life of the church, I'm 2 years doing this now, right? So I'm just learning a little bit more about a lead pastor and learning about budgets and what does this look like and how's this work. And so we just kind of said, you know, let's let the people know that there's a need. So we let people know that there was a need, that when it comes to summertime, that's usually the biggest point where most of our money from our general budget gets tied up to, right? So we have a big expense for kids camp. In here, during kids camp, we're going to have, you're going to have 120 kids, probably 80 of them or more that aren't from our church, that are going to be here from our community, walking here, people are going to bring their kids here. We're going to have leaders from our church to be able to walk around and guide them and be these little shepherds towards them. They're going to be able to sing these amazing songs. They're going to be able to hear the Jesus-centered story that we want to share. And then we have about 20 of these kids that have already gone through kids camp that are now going to be working with Tony and Ajay in a leadership development with them. And it's just a beautiful thing. And we've said, yes, we want to do that. Well, the reality is that it's, you know, the cost is around $14,000 as far as how we run that. And how it works out is that it's a hit of about $7,000 or $8,000 that we kind of have to, by the time you factor in the kids that pay what they pay for and renting this, it's about $7,000. So I said that last week. Can I just say that I'm incredibly grateful for this congregation and for the generosity that you are showing. Because someone said, you know, you mentioned $7,000, Kevin, and this week, you know, without saying all the details, I'm able to say these things, is that this person received $7,000 and said, you know what, I want to give to that. So here's $7,000. Like how, you can't make these stories up, right? And before that, I know that there was people also that knew there was a need and just started giving quietly as well. And this was a quiet gift, but it was like, and so at the start of summer, you know, you have $7,000 that comes, that kids camp costs, and then you got to pay. Now because we have a building, we have this great fortune of, because it's, right now it's a classification D, it's a $5,000 tax, property tax that we pay, which is good. And there's a whole bunch of, so it works out to be a big chunk of change just before summer that we need to be able to run summer so that the staff aren't freaking out, right? And it's a beautiful thing. And people are responding. Can I just say thank you to that? I just want to say thank you. I'm overwhelmed by that. And as people continue, so it kind of caught Sharon and I. We're like, all right. So as I tell you the story, it was kind of like Sharon and I, like, okay. And she's working through a concussion and she's off right now. But she's like, okay, well, how much can maybe we give to help offset that as well? So the generosity begets generosity, and it's a beautiful thing. So thank you for everyone here that has been generous in so many different ways. So I want to say also here that personally, too, I know there's people in our congregation. So we're talking the wider scope as a church. But personally in our congregation, you know, there's people here with needs. And we can't force you to tell us that. We can't, but we say, you could let us know how we can help. In different ways. And so there's needs that arise from the local church. And if you're in a person in need right now, we want to be able to help you if we can. So let us know. And we have ways to do that. That's, you know, the connection card you could do. You could email us. There's a funny little thing. Any email that goes to @coasthillschurch.com just comes to us. So you can do whatever you want in there. I'm in need, or like, you know, I think Chelsea sent a funny thing, like Cool Cat Kevin @Coast Hills, and said, hey, we want to, anyway, so it's so good. anyway, we would love to know that and see how we can help in those ways. So what I'm saying is that we're doing this now. So well done, Coast Hills. Next one. There's different fits for different people. Verses 2 to 4. So the 12 gathered the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are well known." Why do I keep adding that? It's the Kevin Snyder edition. To be full of wisdom and spirit, we will turn the responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. We need to understand that some people here, the text is, you can kind of read it going, maybe the leaders are going, no, I'm going to do the cool stuff. So I'm going to do preaching, I'm going to do teaching, I'm going to do leadership, and let's find some other people to wait on tables. Sometimes we can read it that way, but it's not. It's not. It's saying, who among you have this capacity and this compassion and this opportunity to fill a need where we see? And that's what we want to try to get better at doing in our church in that way. Some people love baking, and that's very meaningful, like as we talked about. Some people love to work with their hands, and that's very meaningful. We have numerous people that have been helping out at the ministry center. Right now, there's a need out there. Right now, we need a few more people to maybe lean in and help with the all the finishing stuff at the ministry center. If that's you, Harold Eckert, go talk to Harold Eckert. We'd love to have a few more people in that way. And we made a list of people that have helped out the ministry center, and the list is long. It reminded me, when I was reading this, I was like, ours is longer, right? Meaning people that have been involved. It's such a good thing. Also, we need, you know, there's opportunity. Some people love to work with kids. Some people just like driving them, and that's okay. Other people are called to lead and maybe not want to or able to get bogged down in the details. And so as we go forward in this next year, we're going to be concentrating on some of these things, how we can shore these things up to go ahead. So there's different fits for different people. And maybe we can look at what your fit would be and how you can maybe be a part of what we're doing here a bit more. Next one is, people always over programs. Always. 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 We always have to have people over programs. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Also Philip and these guys that I can barely pronounce. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. They released them to go and do because of people. Called people to go and serve people. I've been a part of a lot of different things, and sometimes we get busy doing stuff and we realize, okay, then sometimes there's this chance of using people to be able to make a program look really good, or using people to be able to do what you think we should be doing here as a church. And I'm saying, we just need to not use people. I don't even know if I like the word God used me. I think it's more of God's inviting you to work with him, because we're not tools, even though some of us might feel that sometimes. So we want to be able to do that. I was looking at my article last year in an annual general meeting as I'm writing this other one about my little thing on rest and work. I think one of the things I found out that there was a lot of people that were really tired last year here. And I meet with some of my other pastors, and one guy joked, he said, "Oh, you're the pastor that's like killing all the programs." I'm like, "No, I'm the pastor that's letting people live." Because we've had to say, just drop a few things. We've had to just drop men's ministry and women's ministry and a few other things like that, because it was just weighing on some people. And you know what? Sometimes, I'd rather have a program die than a person. Get it? So let's figure that out. Right? And guess what? as things die, new things become alive because there's a new vision and new something. And maybe someone says, hey, we're not doing this. And then we say, hey, you know what? Book of Acts says, you can do it yourself. Come on up. We're going to lay hands on you and let you go. It's a beautiful thing. So it's always because we're looking at lives transformed by the good news of Jesus. I want to jump into the last part here. And the reminder that our mission as a church is to be a Jesus-centered community, creating gracious space through acts of generous love. This is what we want to accomplish in our work. And a couple things that we've been doing that in those kind of ways is that, first of all, we've got a wide preaching team. You hear me mostly, but you'll hear a bunch of different other people and their perspectives and their take on things. And it's not always going to be the same. And we've said that that we want to do this in a team fashion. And that's been really helpful. And it's been really helpful because then at the preaching team level, we can kind of, it hasn't quite come to fisticuffs yet, but we have some good dialogue and struggle as we, as a community, work out our faith with fear and trembling, and that we continue to be convicted to being Jesus-centered, creating gracious space, and living in acts of generous love. So there's three things I want to talk about this morning. A little bit of examples of need in our own community. But first, before each of those examples, I wanted to explain the example of why. Like, why do we even do that? Okay? So the question would be here, Sunday morning. Why do we even meet here Sunday morning? obviously, we want people to understand and be inspired of who Jesus is. Today, we're going to be able to take the bread and the wine or the juice in our case. Because we believe that Jesus is the full manifestation of God, and he's come in the human flesh for the forgiveness of sins and the redemption of all of everything. And so this is it. It's Jesus. And we want to allow people space to be able to try to discover who Jesus is in that way. And so there's... Some of you will come at different points and of need in different times, and I'm not saying that every Sunday there's going to be an aha moment for every person, but most every Sunday I'm having conversations that somebody has had an aha moment each Sunday, and that's one of the things we want to be able to do that. I'm going to call Trev Conkey. Can you come on up? And Trev and Chelsea joined us this summer, and I've just asked you to share a little bit about that story that you shared with me, about your first experience here and kind of what has kept you.
All right.
Okay.
So I was thinking about this just now as Kevin was talking about the context for this. And so Chelsea and I started coming here in August of last year, so it's about 8 or 9 months now. And there's a long story of how we got here, but for time, I will truncate it into as much context as I can give you. We grew up in the church. We've been going to church a long time. And we're both very involved in different ministries, with worship and whatnot. And we had Oliver and Bennett. And so Chelsea was able to step back a little bit from that, from the ministry stuff and focus on family, and I kept going, and I was able to distance myself a little bit from it to try and keep work and church and family and stuff in balance as best as I could. But there's a lot of pressure to, and I don't want to say program over people, but we felt that a little bit. But that's what church was, and that's what you do, and so that's just what we did. Kept going, kept pushing. And then I got to the point where it's just, when I look at the Bible and I see what the church was and I see what our experience is, it's not life-giving. It's just quenching. So I said we gotta make a change, and So I've been on my own little journey in my struggle with what church is, what even what God is, what all of this is. So we slowly pulled away from that church, and we wanted something closer to home because it was hard to commute with the kids and everything. And so we pulled away, and then we started looking for something close to home. And every time I'd walk in, and the lights were off, and the production was on, and we'd sit in the back, and even churches that I knew people, we'd go there, and there'd barely be a hello or whatever, and I was like, there's just got to be more to this. This isn't what this is about. It's so I was getting even more and more against, I don't know if I want to say against church, but I was getting to the point where there's got to be more to this. There's got to be something else. So we just kept going, and I was having a driveway conversation with my neighbor, just talking about church, and I don't even remember what we were talking about, but it came up where I said that we were, you know, looking for a new church, and she said, well, I have friends who know a pastor in the area. I don't know what the name of the church is, and I don't know really anything about it, but this is the guy's name. It was Kevin. She said, check it out. So I Googled Kevin Snyder and found this church and hoped, and it was close to home, so I was pretty close. I was pretty sure that was the right church, so I said, let's just give it a go. Even though I was like, Chels can attest to the stories of me just not really, all right, let's do it. And this is where it gets a little crazy.
Thanks for
doing this. It's happening all again. I can feel it. even just in the parking lot, we got welcomed. I walked in, and I was like, oh, the lights are still on. I guess they haven't turned them off yet. We sat in the back, and David was leading. I remember sitting there, and I saw one guy on the stage with a guitar and a Blue Jays hoodie, and I was like, okay, and he's playing, and I think it was the week of kids camp or something because he looked tired, and he was singing this song that I'd never heard before. And as he was singing it, it just like pierced my heart. And I just like, my knees buckled and I sat in my chair and I just started weeping. And I felt God really strongly say to me, I felt like he said, you can give up on that, the institution of church and the power struggles that you've experienced, and you can give up on all of that, but don't give up on the design of community in the body of Christ. Because that's my design. That's the way I've created it. And David was singing and he was playing, and as he kept singing this chorus over and over again, I felt this peace and this kind of a breath of fresh air to just, I can just, okay, here's, I feel freedom in this. And I told Chelsea, I said, we got to give this a chance because there's a life in this, and there's freedom in this, and that was 8 or 9 months ago. And I mean, we feel the change, and the heart behind the leadership of the church, that it's, I mean, it's not perfect. No church is perfect. Like as Glenn said that one time, we're cool, but we're not that cool. but there is life, and there's I believe truth in that, and it just with having the two boys, it's been such a breath of fresh air to have the help that we've had and in the community. And so thank you from us that this is the community that I believe is doing what this says, you know, creating gracious space through acts of generous love. So awesome. That's essentially what's keeping us here.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. You're a good man. Love you, man. So good. There's three entry points on a Sunday morning if you want to help create this. Set up and take down. Always looking for people that maybe can actually maybe get on a list, maybe not. Oh, yeah. What am I doing? And double. And so that's a beautiful thing. So it could be set up and take down. We have a lot of fun. It doesn't take that long, actually. Hospitality. There's a need for people hospitality. Some person just has to step off right now because she's got to take care of some health issues. And so that's a need. And also, we're looking at trying to develop a prayer team for people to be able to say, hey, we want to have you come to the front or in the back. We want to pray for you more. So if that interests you, grab a card, a connection card. You send us an email and or talk to me, and we could try to figure out what that looks like. Madison, come on up. We're going to talk about kids' life as well. Madison, can you share a little bit about how you went from being a helper to now teaching? And what's keeping you there? What are you?
Yeah, I went through kids' life, and I graduated through grade 5, and I think grade 6, I was like a volunteer. I think that was a little bit because I didn't want to leave the classroom. But through that, I've learned a lot. And for being a volunteer, I would just kind of go in before class and be like, oh, like, what do you need my help with? And then it would just be like, oh, just work with the kids. And like, I've kind of just built friendships with a lot of kids through that, which is like really awesome for me. And able to see a lot of kids that like, when I was in grade 6, they were little, and now they're like in grade 5. And I'm like, oh, what's happening? I thought I was teaching you. But yeah. And yeah, so that was really rewarding for me. I think volunteering, being a helper in the class, out of getting a friendship. And then I think that I just wanted a little bit more of that when I was starting high school. I think I was, you know, a little bit probably mature. And so I thought, well, I guess I'll try out teaching, which I was kind of scared at first because I'm like, oh, all these kids think that I'm their friend. They're not going to listen to me. They're just going to go crazy. But it was really good. And I love teaching them. And I think that kids' life has really, like, I think it's really what God has worked through it to teach me. And that's different for everybody how God works in their life. But I think that I learned a lot through the kids. And kids' life has definitely helped me to realize that I want to work with kids in my future after high school. And yeah, and also it's helped me, like, when I was being a helper, I had so many great mentors, other teachers, and so many friends again. Like, I don't know, when you're a teenager, I think sometimes you don't think that you can be friends with a 6-year-old, but like, it's the best thing ever.
Yes.
Like, I can give an example, I don't think he'll mind, but like Carter, every day, he's like, so when can we have a play date? I'm like, any day, buddy. Like, you know?
That's so good.
So yeah, it's been super rewarding, and even like outside of the classroom, like you'll see me like on the playground with them and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just been really amazing, and I feel like I really am able to touch their hearts and stuff. So for me, it's been super rewarding helping the kids, and even there's some challenges that we have, but it's just like, okay, so let's be friends with this kid and let's learn how we can walk with he or she and just help them grow. So that's been super rewarding for me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madison. Yeah. And I know this is part of Madison's story of being baptized as well, is that that we celebrate her baptism earlier in the year and being discipled in that way. How good is that? So points of entry there. Just encouragement. Like, just somehow find a teacher, get to know a teacher and just encourage them. And say thank you, and to what they're, or and to talk to Danny and Tracy in that way. They're looking for class helpers, maybe just someone that that might just want to sit and be during class as well. And watch out though, because she was a helper, so you might end up being a teacher. And then there are also some needs for teachers as well. We're going to show a video on youth, right? This is one other area of need. Awesome. I'll put this down.
Hi, my name is Shendel. I've been going to Coastals for 8 years. Hi, my name's Jack, and I've been going to Coast Hills for about 7 years.
Hi, I'm Hannah, and I've been going to Coast Hills for 4 years.
I think one of my favorite memories with youth leaders is one time we were at Camp Stillwood, and we were in the river, and we were just sitting in the Glacier Creek water. It was pretty nice. And Kevin was there, and it was just a good old time with my boy Kevin Schneider.
The very first night I came to youth, our main youth leader at the time walked up to me and just was like, "Hey, how you doing?" Acting as if he knew me, gave me a high five, and it just made me feel so welcome and so loved. And I've always remembered that and that feeling it gave me.
One of my favorite memories is going on a youth retreat and just getting closer to the other youth and making friendships that will last a lifetime. So important to have youth, have people to look up to and be a good mentor and a strong role model, and also just a friend and someone to be with. And some of the best memories I have at youth involve the leaders, and it's really important.
It makes it really hard to trust people who are coming and going and build relationships with them and really understand what they're all about.
So me and Tony go bouldering at the local climbing gym every Thursday after youth, and it's a good chance to hang out with my boy Tony and have some good communication with him.
I think being able to make a lasting impact on people's lives and help them grow spiritually and watch other people grow and just make an impression on someone will be really important to me, because that's what's happened to me at youth with the leaders that have been here.
I look forward to being a youth leader one day because I'm excited to show other kids the love and forgiveness of God and help them to learn how to show it to other people.
How good is that? Oh man, awesome. Great video. Jay, and gives a glimpse. And just so you know, we're leaving this as an invitation for you to be involved, but we're not trying to make people be over-involved, okay? But we're just saying this is an invitation, but also allow you to see what is all out there that this little church is doing. So, Thank you, Trevor and Madison. We want to, as we be a church, Jesus-centered community, we want to invest in people and allow those people to invest in others. And we want to, in a sense, flatten leadership to the point where we can we can have people involved in different ways. And that maybe they're able to take on some things, maybe some new needs will arise. And we want to be nimble during that time as well. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to just appreciate this. I think we're going long because the kids are hanging outside, which is good. Let me pray, and then we're going to call us up to communion. Let me pray. God, thank you for this little church and for what you are doing in this kingdom, in your kingdom through us. We know that we're not perfect and we are in need of your leadership in our own lives in different ways. God, wherever we're at, maybe today there's someone sitting in the congregation today that maybe is feeling how Trevor felt at that first time. Pray that they would have space to breathe and live and recover, but also an avenue to be jump into community at some point in whatever way that looks for them. God, thank you for Madison and for the way you have been discipling her through the people in our church. Thank you for her mentors, and thank you for the little ones that she calls friends. Thank you for Ajay and Tony and all the other leaders that are jumping in and serving in this way. Thank you for our youth. Allow us to give them the gracious space to be able to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. God, as we come to your table, we ask that we be empowered by the fact that you came to be in us and through us and for us. And as we take this communion, may we be reminded that we're not just, as was said a few weeks ago, we're not just gathering around a person. We're actually gathered to be the hands and the feet of Jesus himself. So as we take the bread and take the cup, may we be reminded of how you love us and how you interact in the world. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.